Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the RPM sub-team for trademark claims taking place on the 12th of June, 2019. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Zoom room. If you're only on the telephone, could you please identify yourselves now? Hearing no one, if I could please remind all to state your name before speaking for recording purpose. And to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to Julie Hedlund. Please begin.
Thank you very much, Terry. This is Julie Hedlund from staff. And may I ask who is the number starting in 1609 and ending in 278?
It's Kathy Kleiman. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Kathy. Thanks so much. We'll change your label for, and we'll put your name in there. Thanks so much.
And the label will only be needed for a second. I'm logging in from a different, logging in online. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Very good. Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining. Just very quickly, I'll run through the agenda. Number one is statements of interest. Number two, timeline and work plan. Three is to discuss the proposed answers and preliminary recommendations for question four. Time permitting, discuss final input for the updated text for questions one and questions three. And number five is any other business. May I ask if anyone has any other business? Seeing no hands, back to agenda item one. Does anyone have any updates to their statements of interest? Not seeing any hands. On to agenda item two. Just as a reminder of where we are, this is the last meeting before ICANN 65. There will be no meeting next week. As is customary, we generally do not have meetings the week before ICANN meetings. And also, we'll need some time for the sub-team co-chairs to prepare for the meetings at ICANN 65. And as soon as they have coordinated also with the working group co-chairs on the plan for ICANN 65, we'll go ahead and send the draft agendas for those meetings to all of you, and as well as update the information that is on the ICANN 65 online schedule. And with that, I will turn things over to Roger. Roger, please go ahead.
Thanks, Julie. We're going to jump up to 4B, but I wanted to give everybody a chance to make any comments on 4 or 4A since the document has changed since last week. And just wanted to make sure everybody's good with the proposed answer to 4 and 4A and give everybody a chance to say if they are need any changes or any comments on those before we move on.
Roger, this is Kathy. For those of us on audio, is it too long to read?
They are not too long to read, and I can read them real quick. All right, so 4 is the exact match requirement for trademark claims serving the intended purpose of the trademark claims RPM. In conducting this analysis, recall that IDNs in Latin-based words with accents and umlauts are currently not serviced or recognized by many registries. Our proposed answer is the subteam has differing opinions on whether the exact match requirements is serving the intended purpose of the trademark claims RPM. And this is where we landed last week. A lot of the back and forth discussion has been removed out of the status check document and put into the summary document. So that is everything that we have for the proposed answer. Okay, no comments. We will move on 4A, and that question is, what is the evidence of harm under the existing system? Our proposed answer is the subteam has differing opinions on whether there is evidence of harm under the existing system of exact match. Any comments, questions? Okay, great. And again, we covered those last week. And 4B we're on to now. Should the matching criteria for notices be expanded? The proposed answer is the subteam has differing opinions on whether the matching criteria for the claims notice should be expanded. Any Any comments, questions? Excellent. All right, so now on to 4BI. Should the marks of the TMCH be the basis for expansion of matches for the purpose of providing a broader range of claims notices? Our proposed answer is, if the matching criteria for the claims notice were to be expanded, the marks in the TMCH should be the basis for an expansion of matches for the purpose of providing a broader range of claims notice. Any comments on 4BI? Along with this, there is some proposed questions to the community, and I'll read those as well. Some sub-team members recommend that the public comment be sought on feasibility, including technical pros and cons of using the TMCH, alternates to the TMCH, are we missing anything in our considerations? I'll open it up to comments. Everybody is good. I like this. Okay. All right, Rebecca, please go ahead.
Rebecca Tashnet, sorry for the delay. If we're using the other document that we looked at in a bit of detail last week as a model, I sort of wonder what the questions are doing here. Are we developing questions to the community for all the answers? What's special about this one? I also think, you know, what are we missing is probably something that the commenters are going to figure out for themselves. So I guess right now I don't see a case for having the questions as part of this. Thank you.
Okay. Julie, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Rebecca, for asking that question. Previously, Christine Duray had made a suggestion that there be a third column for proposed questions for community input. And what had been, as you note here, suggested in the Google Doc, so the three questions that are in blue are excerpts from the Google Doc, and those were suggested questions. And so we've included them here as excerpts from the Google Doc, but in this discussion, the subteam could decide that these are not appropriate questions to include in this column. And actually, if there are no questions agreed to in this discussion, then there would be nothing in this column. If they are agreed to, then they would be reflected in this column, but in black text, meaning that they've been discussed by the subteam and agreed to. I hope that's helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie. Christine, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I'm sorry. Christine Durain, and I'm very late to this call, so I may have missed something that was already discussed. But I just raised my hand because Julie mentioned my name in putting these questions forward, and I agree with Julie that that's what happened. I was just literally trying to kind of data dump, like, what are some things that might be interested in, specifically relating to the question, are we missing anything in our consideration, which I think is where what we're talking about right now. I don't have any problem with drawing it. I agree with Rebecca that we probably don't have to ask, are we missing anything, because people will fill that in. It was really just more of a list of questions to garner discussion and what questions we might ask. And I just, to be really, really clear, I don't actually think, I would prefer a world in which we asked as few questions as possible, right? We want to make recommendations and only have questions where we need additional supplemental information. As we talked about last week, the point isn't to re-ask the questions that we're supposed to be making recommendations on. The point is to call for information that might be new in relationship to our recommendation. So that I think is our point here, not a substitute for recommendations, but a adding on to our knowledge base as we finesse our recommendations. So that's a very long way to say I do not have any problem with removing question three. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Christine. Rebecca, please go ahead.
Rebecca Teschner, thank you. So, right. So now we get into the tough part of this. So are we going to create a new question or a new column full of questions to the community, and who's going to populate it and when? Because I don't think we have worked on that for other of the questions. I actually have no particular problem asking general questions about feasibility, but it is going to be a little weird if these are the only ones we have. So I don't know where that fits in our timeline. And I appreciate Christine's points, but I guess I would say, okay, we've taken it out of this column. We actually do have to figure out what happens next. Thank you.
Thank you. Christine, please go ahead.
Thanks. This is Christine. I agree that not every question will have not every question has questions, or not every issue or whatever we're calling it has a question. But if we haven't gone through and checked to make sure that we don't have any questions, I think we probably need to at some point. When we compare back, and this is what I keep doing, I compare back to the sub-pro working document. And so they start with recommendations, which I think was section maybe C in each category. And then they had from there, they had sort of additional like questions, like follow-up questions. And not every question or not every recommendation had questions, and not every recommendation actually had a recommendation. Some just had questions. So I think we don't have to have an answer for in both columns, but we would presumably want the recommendation column filled as much as possible. So I agree they don't all have to be filled, but I think that's the model we're following, is the sub-pro model of having a question section for every, I don't know, question is like a duplicative word, but I don't know, the issues. Whatever it is, having an actual question section for each issue or each proposed question is the model I think that we're following. Whether or not it's blank, I don't know. Thanks.
Thanks, Christy. Kathy, please go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear me, Roger?
I can. Thank you.
Great. Hi, everybody. Now coming in via laptop. Christine, I'm not sure we are following the sub-pro model with lots and lots of questions, because their initial report was really kind of like a preliminary report that was out there to gather a lot of data. But we're much further along and we've got recommendations. And so for me, the questions in column 3, 1, 2, and I think we've deleted 3, but not sure, I think would be confusing under the circumstances, because there is no recommendation about going forward so with expansions. So why would we be asking about the feasibility process? I think the proposed answer kind of tells us what's going on. I did have a question about the blue text under the proposed answer and whether the blue text goes in to what we're publishing. But yeah, I'd recommend deleting the questions now, because I don't think the public will quite follow the reasoning for why they're there. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Kathy. Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Shatton, for the record. Can you hear me?
Yes. Please go ahead, Greg.
Not to sharpen this pencil even further, but my general understanding of the working method is that we would have some questions about where we were, there was a real need identified to try to fill a gap or a hole, but not to have a slew of questions that were kind of, broad and almost generic, and try to have questions for every question. So in looking at these questions here, they're certainly not formed really as questions yet, and they tend to look a little bit kind of generic, like, are we missing anything? I don't think we're going to be asking that. Kind of asking broad questions like this. If we have a question about feasibility, I think it would have to be more targeted. So I expect that largely most questions will not have follow-on questions, but it really is where we kind of all scratch our heads and say, you know, we'd like the community's input, either a specific question so that they comment, give us a comment that we're actually, you know, trying to address, or where we see a follow-on question. But I think I'd want to see much more kind of targeted and specific questions, not leading, obviously not easy. So I don't think we have to worry about the fact, not worry too much that we haven't been fashioning questions all along and that we're somehow 47 follow-up questions behind. But we should try to see if we have kind of questions that will really help our work and make sure that we kind of limit ourselves to that. And so in many cases, we may have no preliminary recommendation where we can't agree on one, or where we agree that there's nothing to recommend. We may have questions in those cases, and we may have no questions following up on those where there are. But I would not look to populate the question column just because it's there, even though that's, I'm sure that's somebody's principle, that anytime there's an empty cell in a table, something has to rush in to fill it. But I think we should resist that. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Greg. Everybody's comments are leading the same direction, as few questions as possible. And I think Kathy may have said it. I don't think that we're trying to necessarily replicate the subpro. That was a good process, and I hope that we went through that in our own process, coming up with those questions and answers on our own. And as Kathy mentioned, we're a little further along than that. So hopefully we do end up with very few questions. And it sounds like from this group that 4BI should not have any questions at this time. So, and Kathy, just to follow up with you on the blue text, do you have any other questions? I see a lot of chat back and forth in the chat.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Roger. I guess I was trying to type something. Question to everyone. Should we keep the blue text and make it black? Does it help people understand the proposed answer or not?
So are you suggesting, Kathy, that to include both the black and blue, or are you suggesting replacement with the blue?
No, I think we have to keep the black.
Okay.
So it looks like we're talking about deleting the blue in column 3. Should we keep the blue in column 1?
Okay.
And I'm not sure the answer of that. I've been kind of looking at it closely. Thanks.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Kathy. Christine, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Christine. I don't necessarily have a firm answer to that text in blue in column 1. I wrote it, so I'll explain to you why it's there, and perhaps that might help, because I'm not sure if we need it. But I thought that question 4B1 could be read in a couple different ways. So should the marks in the clearinghouse be the basis for an expansion of matches for the purpose of providing a broader range of claims notices? I think the proposed answer is a very sort of black and white answer, for lack of a better description. I mean, it says yes, the marks in the clearinghouse are the basis, right? It answers that yes or no. I feel like a sort of broader implication of Q4B1 is like, how would this happen technically? Would the clearinghouse manage it? I mean, other than just the submission of the marks in the clearinghouse as the basis for non-exact matches, like, who would decide, or how, like, where would be the repository of non-exact matches? Well, you know, whatever the implementation piece was, would the clearinghouse be that likely implementation, or would we literally be outsourcing a whole new provider to sort of come from the ground up with this whole new process and system that we've never ever heard of or seen before? And so my suggestion with the blue text, which maybe many of you will now go, holy shit, I had no idea what she meant, I changed my mind. Basically, the suggestion with the blue text was to say, yeah, I mean, to my thinking, if we were going to do non-exact matches, and I'm opposed to them, by the way, then the clearinghouse seems like the likely place, because we're already doing trademarks plus 50. We've already got the marks there. We've already got the EPP connection to the registrars. Like, stuff is there. The basic pieces are in place. So the blue text was trying to go a little further to figuring out sort of some of those implementation thoughts. So that might help some of you decide whether you like it or not. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments, questions on keeping that blue text, removing the blue text, adding pieces of it? Okay, I'll spur the conversation in lieu of no comments. Okay, Susan thinks it makes sense. And I believe Kathy said it makes sense. So we have support to keep it in there and turn it black. I'd like to hear from anybody that disagrees with that. Give people a chance to read the chat, and I think we will. All right, Greg, please go ahead.
Greg Chapman, for the record, just briefly. So, based on the clarifications from Julie Hedlund, I would say kind of the question I ask myself is this deliberative, or is this amplifying and clarifying the answer? In this case, I think the blue text is the latter, amplifying and clarifying the answer. So I feel, comfortable putting it in. I think there are a lot of cases where the blue text is deliberative and should go to where deliberations go. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. All right, so we will add that to the proposed answer. And then we can move on. Or BII, what results, including unintended consequences, might each suggested form of expansion of matching criteria have? Proposed answer. As the subteam had differing opinions on the need to expand matching criteria, the suggested forms of expansion were not examined in detail, and as such, the subteam did not flesh out the possible results of such suggestions. I will open that up before we get into any of the blue text in this question. Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Chatton. Sorry to be so chatty this afternoon. I had thought, and maybe I'm just blending too many different things together, that we had some fairly detailed suggestions, or at least some fairly detailed concepts that were expressed as to different ways that this could be put forth. This almost makes it sound like we just never even got to that point. So I think we either need to clarify that we had detailed proposals but couldn't agree on them at all, and therefore they're not going to be in the answer. I wouldn't quite put it that way, but that should kind of be the implication. if I'm just wrong, then, I guess we need to clarify that, or I need to clarify that. But I thought we had the suggested form, that we did have detailed suggested forms, and we did spend quite some time talking about them. Didn't necessarily accomplish much of a meeting of the minds, but we did at least, burn some oil on it. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Any other comments on that? Anybody just noting Rebecca commented on chat? Kathy, please go ahead.
Yeah, I remember seeing different ideas kind of listed and being surprised to see them in such detail, because I don't remember discussing, proposals in detail, because we hadn't agreed on expanding beyond the exact match. So I would actually say the black text here works. I'm not sure we need the blue text, because I think it repeats the black text. But the black text seems to work. There were some suggested forms of expansion, but we really didn't examine them in that much detail. So anyway, thank you.
Great. Thanks, Kathy. Greg, is that a new hand or an old hand?
Okay,
thanks, Greg. Julie, please go ahead.
Yeah, just very quickly, staff recalls that there were some ideas that were discussed, but not proposals or in any great detail. But we will go ahead and check on that just to make sure that we've captured that accurately here. But our sense was, I think, more along the lines of what Rebecca is saying, that there were some ideas, not a lot of detail, and that there was no consensus. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Julie. And that was my, I guess, historical view too, was I think, as Greg mentioned, some of the proposals were somewhat detailed, but I don't know that as a discussion we actually got into those details and looked far enough down to see the possible issues or results of those things. So that's why I think the black text works as well. So any other comments, questions? At this point, I think for the first column, the black text will stay and the blue text in that column will disappear. I'll leave that open now for comments, questions, people that want to keep the blue text that or want to change the black text. Okay. So on this one, that there were some thoughts on questions, results and consequences that we haven't yet identified here. Ideally, community members should quantify their opinions with data. I guess that's not really a question, so. Christine, please go ahead.
Thanks, this is Christine. And I given our conversation a minute ago about you know, sort of asking sort of obvious questions, I don't think we need the blue text here. I'll throw that out there. I think it was just sort of a placeholder for please discuss, which we think and hope people will. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thanks, Christine. All right, so we will remove the blue text. If anyone disagrees, please come forward. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to 4BIII. What balance should be adhered to in striving to deter bad faith registrations but not good faith domain name applications? Our proposed answer is the balance is between generating match criteria that cover as many applicable scenarios as feasible and avoiding a potential overflow of false positives due to bad matches. Prospective registrants should be appropriately notified by a well-crafted claims notice regarding a potential problem with their chosen domains. And just to call out, in our proposed answer, there is a blue line. I assume that was purpose on Ariel, as feasible as being in blue. So just to call that out, I'll open it up for anybody that wants to comment on this proposed answer, make suggestions, changes, keep, delete. Kathy, please go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know why this doesn't sound familiar to me. It doesn't. So I will ask, what are we saying here? I'm afraid I'm confused. So are we advocating a change in the current balance or support of the current balance? And if anybody is the drafter of this, you know, please feel free. Thanks, Roger. Yeah, I'm confused.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks. Greg Shatton for the record. If the current balance means supporting the current trademark claims notice, I think there's quite a number of people who wouldn't support that as being the current balance. And, you know, that seems to be, hopefully our result will be at least the recognition of the need to change and a pathway for doing it. But I think that in terms of this answer, I'm not sure it says anything about this, the broader status quo or what was attempted as the status quo in terms of the policy level balance. The implementation may have left something to be desired, but at the policy level, you know, I support the balance that was being aimed for. But this is kind of a non-answer answer. It kind of just explains the question, but doesn't really answer it. When we're talking about balance, I'm thinking more about things like it's better to let 100 guilty men go free than to hang one innocent man / person / whatever. I mean, that's a kind of balance. That's a balancing choice one makes. And there are different cultures that have made different choices about that balance over time. So that to my mind is kind of what the question is asking about. But the non-answer answer is non-controversial and therefore might be the best we can come up with. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. And I'll note Christine's comment in chat. The question, maybe the hard part here is the question worded well. Is it really getting somewhere? Phil, please go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, for the record, I would propose just keeping the second paragraph. I don't think the first paragraph says anything. It talks about the balance between generating match criteria. Well, the criteria we have and that we're not going to change because there was no agreement to change is an exact match, generates a claims notice. So it makes, an exact match, does that cover as many applicable scenarios as feasible? And avoiding false positive, none of it makes sense to me. It might make sense if we had expanded the matching, the matching criteria to generate a claims notice, but by sticking to exact match is the only thing that generates a notice, I don't think it adds anything but confusion. And really should be dropped in the second paragraph is fine. It's really about proper language. The criteria is very simple, exact match. And we need to communicate that in a way that effectively deters bad actors, but doesn't scare off registrants who have no infringing intent. So that would be my proposal. Thank you.
Great, thanks, Phil. So thoughts on that of dropping the first sentence and just keeping the last one? Just noting a comment that Kathy did agree with that as well as the possibility of dropping that first sentence and just keeping the last sentence. Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Shatton. I took a minute to think about that. And I tend to support that. I think the first sentence is kind of a mess the more you look at it. I mean, it's a draft, and it's probably a draft that could be, tightened and all that, but it kind of goes off in a lot of different directions. And, I don't mean to criticize the drafters, whoever they were, but just I think it's not necessary to answer the question. The second sentence really answers the question. And the first one just kind of, I think it's surplusage, and it's also just kind of a all over the place sort of thing. So I actually would support dropping it. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Greg. Susan, I think that, yes, that is correct. Go ahead, Susan, please.
Sorry, thanks. I was just going to ask the question since there was a pause. I got a bit confused about what we were proposing to delete, and so I was just trying to understand if the proposed answer was just going to start at prospective registrants.
That is correct. That's where we would start.
I feel ambivalent. I mean, I don't think it really answers the question, but then I think the first sentence is not, I agree with the comments that have been made about the first sentence anyway, so I don't know what's, I don't know. It doesn't seem to me to be a sensible answer, but.
So are you supporting that the first sentence is somewhat sensible as an answer?
Well, I think the first sentence is pretty horrible, but it does at least reflect the kind of balance thing. Albeit that I accept that there is we're already asked about balance in the question, but the answer, if you only have the second sentence, isn't referring to the balance at all.
Okay. Thanks, Susan. And some good things going on in chat. Christine, please go ahead.
Thanks. This is Christine. The lawyer in me really wants to answer the call of the question, as I think a few of us on this call are struggling with right now. So I am seeing some great conversation in the chat, and I'd like to propose another sort of variation, which would be something that directly answers the call of the question in the second sentence. So the balance, the current balance is achieved by notifying prospective registrants about potential problems with their chosen domain names, and can be enhanced or something like that by, updating the notification process or something like that. I want to say that we want to say that there's a current balance. It's there with the exact match, but we're going to make it a little bit better. So there's a balance, and I don't want to imply that it's a balance, but it's not a balance. So I think between the chat and some variation of what I just said could get us there, where we sort of answer the question about balance and the fact that we think the exact match with a better claims notice is that balance. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Lori, please go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. It took me a minute to unmute. Yeah, I'm going along the lines of Christine as well, and I think maybe even Phil. I think it's almost non sequiturs between the first and second sentence and the first, and you're just really asking the question. Answering the question. So I would say divide it up again into two sentences, but say the balance in terms of the criteria themselves, in terms of matching, we achieve is right. Where we are now is where we need to be. Where we're out of balance is in the, where we're out of balance is the, I could just say inscrutability of the claims notice. What's out of balance is notice. Like the policy of the matching makes sense, but how we're telling people about it doesn't make sense. So I think this follows along what Christine is saying. So what balance should be adhered to? We believe that in terms of the policy of the matching rules themselves, we are achieving the right balance. Where there is imbalance is how the public is notified through the actual notice. And that part could be improved.
Okay.
That's the answer.
Great.
I haven't drafted it, but if somebody, yeah.
Great. Thanks, Laurie. So I'll pose this to staff then. Do you feel, Julie, that you actually have what you need to update this?
Yeah, thanks, Julie. And we'll actually use the recording to make sure that we get these questions right, as well as checking the chat and what people have written there.
Perfect. Yeah, I was going to say the chat has a lot of good stuff. So, okay, great. Okay. We will move on from the answer. We will update that and look at the questions. Looks like there's two suggested questions in this one. Do you agree that with the balance suggestion above, and do you have additional suggestions? I think from previous items where it sounds like these both can be removed and no question here, but I'll open it up. Please comments. Okay, unless someone wants to keep them, we will remove them. Thank you. All right, 4BIV, what is the resulting list of non-exact match criteria recommended by the working group, if any? The proposed answer, with some blue text, so please note that. The subteam has not approved the concept, much less developed a proposed list of non-exact match criteria. If the matching criteria for the claims notice were to be expanded, but seeks community input in case the result of the public comment period suggests it is a path forward. So, open this up to the proposed answer. Thanks, Kathy. You saw me stumble through that. Greg, please go ahead.
This is Greg Shatton. For the record, I guess I'm torn between improving this answer, which goes to the community input question, which then should probably put a question into column 3.
Right.
Which I guess would be soliciting ideas for non-exact match, but to be honest, I think we probably could have developed a rational non-exact match if there was a stomach for it in general. And I think maybe, you know, our public comment, at least implicitly, can ask for, whether people can disagree with our conclusion, which is that, you know, we're not going to have non-exact match. But if that is in fact our conclusion, then I think the actual answer to this question is not applicable.
So, Greg, from what you started there, the last comma part of that sentence is more appropriate for column 3, is what you're suggesting?
I am suggesting that, and I'm not sure it's appropriate for this for QB4,
okay.
Because we're really asking first, whether there should be non-exact match, and second, if you think there is, then what should it look like? I'm not sure that's really goes to QB4. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Greg. All right. Other comments? There's quite a bit going on in chat. Susan, please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks, Susan. Just wanted to understand what Greg was saying here. I think what you're saying, Greg, is that you support that input being sought, but you think it's not a question that goes to this specific sub question, but rather it goes somewhere earlier on in question Q4. If that was what you meant, then I think I would agree with that. I think we do want to seek some input on this, but perhaps we ought to be clear that if we're going to seek input, we're asking for you sort of reasoned and evidence-based. I mean, we don't need just a load more people saying, I think this and I think that, because we've already had that, and we've as a group decided we don't think that's good enough. So there's no point us encouraging the community to just give us more of the same.
Okay. Greg, any comment back?
That's Greg Shatton again. I agree with Susan, and I think she advanced my thinking.
Okay.
So thanks.
Great. Thanks, Greg. Kathy, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. And follow up to that, and tell me, Susan, if this completely contradicts what you just said. And also wanting to answer the question, so what is the resulting list of non-exact match criteria recommended by the working group, if any? And it seems to me the answer is kind of in the first part. The subteam has not approved the concept, much less developed a proposed list of non-exact match criteria, period. I don't think we have much more to say than that. And then people can comment if they want to. Thanks.
Okay. Okay, good suggestions. Any other comments? Let's just say to the first comma is our answer. Remove the rest, but really that last part of blue is going to be asked elsewhere on question four.
Roger, sorry, it's Kathy. Where would we ask it? Because we're kind of closing. Are we reopening what we've already looked at in Q4? Or, you know, do we want to ask it here in column three, move this to column three, and just say, you know, do people want to comment? But I'm not sure where else we'd move it. So because we're closing everything down, I want to make sure we don't lose something we need.
Okay, great.
We'll punt something that we don't want to punt. Thanks.
Yep. Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks. It's Greg, and I was assuming it would go earlier in question four. I don't think we're closing things like a submarine that's flooding, and we're closing the doors never to be opened again, even in this conversation. I would probably put it kind of maybe at the chapeau of Q4B. And it would be my general thought, because it's a higher level question than this sub question. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Greg. Comments on that? Okay. Yes, I think move it to column three. And the question is, I think, as Greg said, maybe it goes to, and as Ariel put in the chat, to Q4B, just the blue part. Kathy, please go ahead.
Wait, so we're going back to Q4B, or we're putting it in column three of Q4B4?
The suggestion or the proposal now is to move that to column three of Q4B.
Can we go back up and look at Q4B? Cool. And so what did we decide was going to be, or to Ariel and Julie, what did we decide was going to be in the third column now that we're adding something to the third column here?
Thanks, Kathy. Ariel, please go ahead.
Thanks, Roger and Kathy. I think the part in blue is, I just read it, six community input in case the result of the public comment period suggested as a path forward. So the path forward is referring to expanding the matching criteria. So I guess the question to the community is whether there will be a path forward for expanding the matching criteria. I think that's what we understood, but perhaps we didn't understand it correctly.
Great, thanks, Ariel. And just to note, we didn't cover this today, and I don't remember if we covered it last week, but there is blue text in Q4B column three already, and some of that may already include what we're talking about moving. So Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Chatton, for the record. Yeah, I think Q4B is the right place to put it, but I think it points out an infirmity in our answer to Q4B, which is that we don't actually say that we are not recommending, you know, due to the divergence of opinion, there is no recommendation to expand. And then the question is, the third column question is, should there be an expansion, and you know, we could ask here, or we could keep it in Q4B4 and say, if you believe there should be a non-exact match, then what criteria would you suggest? Or maybe it's even if you don't agree. So I'm not sure, but you know, it's not really what is. I guess we're asking here for alternative proposals on what non-exact match would be if in fact somebody, we agreed that it should be non-exact match, although that's kind of putting the cart before the horse, because without a good, the specifics of the proposal may well influence whether people agree to it. So I'm more confused too. But I see kind of the bigger question, at least implicitly, is should there be non-exact match? And secondarily, if you think there should be, what do you think it should consist of? And I suppose that could be in Q4B4 rather than Q4B, at least the second part. The first part, you know, should there be non-exact match, I think belongs, you know, where that question is almost answered by the group. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thanks.
This is Rebecca Teschnet. I'm not on the computer anymore. Can I get on the queue?
You bet. I'll call you right after Susan. And Susan, you're up.
Oh, sorry. I thought there was someone ahead of me. I think towards the end of that, Greg made a good suggestion, which is was something along the lines of, and sorry, I can't scroll back up, but you know, do you think in Q4B, column three, you know, do you think that there should be, you know, expanded matching criteria? And if so, what should those matching criteria be? And again, something to the effect that, you know, please give, you know, full explanation and detail and ideally evidence for your answer. Because, you know, again, you know, we're not just seeking open-ended views, you know, ad nauseum here. We've done that already. But hopefully staff did capture Greg's point, which was that in the main column of the proposed answer on Q4B, we haven't actually gone on and said, and therefore we're making no recommendation to expand the matching criteria. And I do think that that's key.
Right. Okay. So it's something to the order of working group has recommended no expansion. If you disagree, provide matching criteria and details. Kathy, please go ahead.
Yeah, okay, so we're back to 4B. I think it's easier if we just do it in the section that we were in. But if we're talking about 4B, then I agree with Susan that we have to expand it to include the affirmative statement that we're not recommending any exact matches. And also, if you, Roger, let's do both sides. If you agree or disagree, you know, please let us know and comment with data, you know, if possible.
Okay.
Cool.
Great, thanks, Kathy.
I think Rebecca's in the queue.
Yes, Rebecca, please go ahead.
Rebecca Teschnet. Yeah, so I don't get the point of specifically saying, so you know, if you disagree with this specific answer, tell us and give us data why. What makes this answer different from all the others? Where apparently we aren't saying that because we want to put the questions to a minimum. It smacks of trying to get another bite at the apple. And, you know, it seems like we should then also be asking, well, should we get rid of the whole thing? What do you think, community? Give specific, you know, give your data if you have it. You know, I could probably get behind saying something like, you know, if you think it should be expanded, you really have to provide enough specifics to evaluate the proposal because, you know, that's been a huge stumbling block. But other than that, what I'm hearing discussed is nothing more than, do you agree? Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Rebecca. Greg, your hand's up. Is that a new hand, old hand?
New hand.
Great.
I the ask, or at least the attempted ask, is the second to last thing that Rebecca said, which is, if you think there should be expanded match, then give us a specific proposal with, you know, evidence and the like to back it up. I think that the do you agree was more kind of, that can be implicit in asking the second question. And so maybe it makes sense, not to go full circle, to keep it in Q4B4 and to say that, you know, and to ask that question, if you would like to have, if you believe there should be expanded match, you know, you know, give us a, answer should, you know, give a detailed proposal and rationale or something along those lines, whatever it is. I probably wasted time on this in retrospect. Sorry.
Okay, Greg, thank you. Susan, please go ahead.
Thanks. Yeah, just very quickly. Just Rebecca, to respond to you, I'm obviously not being as clear as I might wish I was being, because my point was to trying to flag up the same point you were making. I'm not. Otherwise, it seemed to me that we were asking people to come in and, you know, just randomly give us a load more anecdotes. And so what I was trying to suggest was that we only want input if it's, you know, really going to advance the ball here. And you're absolutely right. You know, why are we asking that on this question and none of the others? But I suppose the answer to that would just be because, generally speaking, it seemed to me when we were having this discussion, we were taking most of these questions out. I mean, it seems to me that generally, I think this is an overarching comment to be making rather than on each individual question, you know, something overarching that says to people who are going to respond, you know, if you're wanting changes to what we're suggesting or what we're recommending or what we're not recommending, then, you know, you need to come up with you know, good reasons. And that was what I was meaning. I certainly wasn't trying to reopen the endless discussion we've already had. I mean, quite the reverse. I thought I'd made that clear, but hopefully that makes sense. I think you and I are in agreement rather than the reverse.
Okay, great. Thanks, Susan. We are out of time. So we'll clean this up and move that to the Q3 or the third column, and we'll move forward. Julie, please go ahead.
Thank you, and thank you all. We do want to go ahead and adjourn this call. Sorry to cut off the discussion, but we do have the sunrise call starting momentarily. That one will actually start at 5 minutes past the hour to give you a little bit of time to transition. Thank you very much, Roger, for chairing. Thank you all for joining, and this call is now adjourned.
Thank you, everyone. Once again, please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.